Welcome back, friends. So we're taking a bit of a deep dive into Psalm 56. So now let's look at the type. I mentioned before that there were different types of psalms, lamentations. This one is a thanksgiving or praise type of psalm. A lamentation generally begins with a description of distress. It's a petition of God to deliverance, a judgment on the evildoers, promise or vow after deliverance, confidence, there's that word again, confidence slash trust slash faith, that God will hear the plea. But there are other types. If we recall, there's a thanksgiving or todah. There are hymns, psalms that are hymns. There are royal psalms, those that focused on the king. There are Mount Zion psalms. There's wisdom or Torah. And then there's the ever popular bucket, the miscellaneous psalms, those psalms that just don't quite fit in those categories. So we are in the praise, more of the praise. So we're going to hear some lamentation. We will. So there's that thing. Distinctions give us opportunity. So when we make distinctions, it really is a way to learn and understand a topic better. When we do contrast and compare, right? Mm-hmm. We did that all through school, and we tend to do it in our own lives. We're gonna go get a car, you know. But we don't want to be so rigid. Particularly when we're coming into something like Psalms and Scripture, where those differences, I thought you said it was this. It's a general. So we're looking in generalities. Okay, the superscription. The dove on far off terebinths. So I had to look. And of course, again, I have notes of where you, if you're so interested, can go look. What in the world is a terebinth? Number one, they're any of several usually small trees of the genus Pistacia of the Middle East and the Mediterranean region, especially P. terebinthus, formerly an important source of tanning material and turpentine. Mm-hmm. And so it's a turpentine tree, native in the lands about the Mediterranean, and we could just think of it as turpentine. Our pine trees here in, you know, the eastern part, we make turpentine from that. So I think it's perhaps a type of pine tree, but I don't know that part. So part of the superscription of Psalm 56:1, and that's the NRSV, and you compare that to REB and the NIV, is probably a reference. Now here was the interesting thing. So the superscription. So let's pull that. What am I talking about? According to the dove on far off temples. So now we're in the realm of academic speculation. Some scholars suggest that is a title to a secular tune. I don't know. Yankee Doodle Dandy has a particular tune. And so, right, that'd be the title for that tune. That's what we're saying. That is what some scholars will say. And an alternative explanation, and it doesn't necessarily have to be one against the other. It could be yet another layer
of kind of thing.
Correct. Is that the doves, the association of the doves with the ritual of atonement. So in this case, the title indicates an atonement psalms, right? The different types of psalms, you know, one's praise and thanksgiving, another could be considered an atonement psalm. Arius, and this, I don't know how many times I've heard it said, you know, I don't listen to the words, I just enjoy the melody, the you know, the tune. So we're going to go with that supposition that this was that David's talking about a secular tune. Well, my friends, many a bad idea has been caught on fire and poured gasoline on because we had a real catchy tune that the populace really enjoyed humming and singing, and it was full of disastrous ideas. When did such a time occur? Arius, the Arian heresy, that nearly destroyed Christendom at its very beginning, and with a very few souls willing to risk exile and intense persecution to give us today the nice truths we enjoy and perhaps at some time take for granted the great cost that was born to give to us. Arius knew the value of a popular tune, and he got those people. Well, he didn't get them. The tune itself drew the people in. Before you know it, they're singing about all kinds of heresies. And, you know, Jerome would say on one occasion, he's a patristic father, that he woke up and the world was groaning with Arianism. It had the secular, both in terms of secular and ecclesial authorities, were very much under that terrible heresy. And that heresy, of course, is still here today. David takes, if you will, that same idea, a popular tune, and he puts truth to it. And there is the contrast, right? There's a contrast.
That's so interesting.
Yes. So a little sidebar. There was a musician. He was in his youth, he played in heavy metal bands and that sort of thing. And I think he was very, very successful, at least according to Wikipedia. He has many millions of dollars. Found the Lord, came to the Lord. And music is, he's promised, very much a part of his ministry is music, because that's his talent, that's his love, that sort of thing. And it was he who also highlighted, this just wasn't that long ago, and he would describe the tune as the platter for the words. It was that substrate that was used to serve the concepts and ideas. And I thought that was a really nice analogy. So
yeah, I like that.
I do too. And of course, someone in the field, as it were, would know how to phrase that.
Yeah.
Do we have any thoughts?
I don't think so. I'm thinking about music now because I'm a musician as well, and I really like that analogy and just the idea of truth and song and the power of song alone. I think there's something supernatural to music, and it's proof of the eternal in my mind, because there's such an endlessness to it, and we've still never heard all the songs that are going to be written, and it's something that will go on forever and ever. And even I think it's amazing how even secular songs can bring glory to God without even being aware of it. You know, like the authors or creators of the music alone are glorifying God without even realizing it by participating in the miracle of music alone, you know?
I think so. And I think it's in some sense a true reflection of what is in heaven, right? Yeah. So the angels sang, right? And I agree with you. I think there's something very, very wondrous about music. And with anything that is so wondrous and I say important, it needs to be handled with great respect and reverence.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean always, as you said, an obvious spiritual way, but this just notion of just, I'm just listening to the tune and the words don't matter. My friend, yeah. They do matter.
Indeed.
Alrighty. Let's pick up what a MCTAM is. We talked about doves and turpentine trees. Now let's think about MCTAMs. Till the next time. Fides et ratio.